easily blow apart his fire the shell. At least if the barrel exploded, he'd be chilled instantly. JB pulled the cord he'd fashioned into a makeshift trigger, and the cannon boomed. The cannon's recoil pushed the WAG back about 2 feet, despite JB's firm pressure on the brake pedal. There was a brief moment of silence, and then the cannon shell struck the side of the building, punching a WAG tire-sized hole in the brickwork 10 feet off the ground and almost directly in front of the WAG.
Well, at least we know the cannon works. Now we've got to get it to the farm so we can use it on some live targets.
Excuse me, John Barrymore.
Doc kneeled so he could talk to JB through the open window at the back of the WAG's cab.
But I'm not sure that the bridge we crossed the other day is stable enough to support the weight of this WAG.
And the other one we saw didn't look too sturdy either.
So close, and yet so far.
There's another bridge south of here.
How far?
10 or 15 miles. It crosses the river upstream at Buffalo.
What's the bridge like there?
It's pretty rusty, but it's complete. You'd be able to drive the WAG over it, no problem.
That settled it for JB. The fuel they had in the WAG was old, but they had a tank full of it, and they wouldn't need more than a quarter of the tank to drive the 30-mile round trip to the farm. Sure, it would take longer, but they'd have to wait until dark once they arrived anyway, and it was better to spend some time traveling the better route than risk breaking an axle or puncturing a tire trying to cross the ruined remains of the Rainbow and Whirlpool bridges.
All right, that's the way we'll take.
JB let out the clutch, and the WAG lurched forward.
What's the name of this bridge, anyway?
It's called the Peace Bridge.
Ha! What an apt irony that is.
Christy was still sleeping comfortably in his arms when Ryan awoke early the next morning.
What is it, lover?
Time for work.
But you won. You don't have to work in the orchards for a week if you don't want to.
Believe me, I don't want to. But I have to.
Why?
One of us has to be out in the orchards to look after JB and the others. He's the time to get organized and come up with a plan. If he's got one, he might want to give us a message about when and where he's going to hit the farm. Someone needs to be out in the field to receive his message.
What if you don't hear from him today?
Then we'll start making our own plans to get out of here.
Good. I'm starting to have some bad feelings about this place.
Anything specific?
Not really. But I am worried about you, lover. You might be in danger somehow.
I've been up to my knees in danger since I got here.
No, this is something different. I can't put my finger on it exactly, but it's not something I've felt before.
Well, thanks for the warning.
Christy was silent a moment before starting to get dressed.
What do you want me to do while you're out in the orchards?
Talk to Mildred. Find out more about where our blasters are being stored and see if we can get them out without anyone noticing. See if you can talk to some of the slaves and let them know something might be happening soon, and that they should be ready.
He paused a moment in thought. And maybe the two of you could come up with a plan for diversion. We'll need one, whether we break out of here ourselves or JB comes to get us.
Anything else, lover?
Christy put her hands on her hips and a smile on her face. Ryan looked at her a moment, then crawled slowly back onto the bed, where he made love to her one more time before starting the day. Baron Fox had had trouble sleeping all through the night. He'd called for a non-breeder before getting into bed, but the usual sense of peace and tranquility he enjoyed after a good rutting had eluded him. Even now, hours later, he was still too tense to rest, and his mind was far from being at peace. There was something on his mind. The Outlander with one eye. He'd been magnificent in the circle, chilling his opponents with as much cunning as brute strength. He'd chilled Mog easily. It had been a good show, but there was still something wrong about the one eye. Something not quite right. Mog had been a monster, but he could always be easily controlled. A few breeders and he was happy, producing offspring that netted top jack. But this one, he was a rogue, a renegade, a rebel. He wasn't the type to be happy just working and rutting his life away on the farm. He was wild, untamable, and he was an outlander. Soon he'd be looking at the fence surrounding the farm as a prison wall, and he'd want out. Worse still was the possibility that he would spend his time on the farm convincing the other slaves to rebel. The slaves outnumbered the Sec Force 10-1, and any organized rebellion stood a good chance of succeeding. And if that happened, Baron Fox knew he'd be chilled for sure, but only after a very long and painful torture session. All it would take is the right man. And that man was the one-eyed Outlander. The Baron was sure of it. Earlier in the night, when the Baron had first tried to get some rest, he drifted into a light sleep and dreamed of the door to his chambers bursting inward and the one-eyed Outlander charging inside, blaster in hand, cutting him to ribbons with a burst of automatic fire. That dream, a brief picture of his own hellish demise, had started the Baron wondering about the Outlander and whether it was wise to keep him on the farm, even if it was only long enough to ship him out and sell him at auction. Each day would give him time to talk to the others and put thoughts of rebellion, escape, and freedom into their little minds. The Baron shook his head. There was no doubt in his mind he couldn't allow that to happen. The one-eyed Outlander had to be chilled, and the sooner the better.
Number one!
The door to the Baron's chamber opened immediately. Aunt Norman Bauer stood there in the doorway with the ledger in his hand, as if he'd been waiting on the other side to be summoned.
The one-eyed Outlander.
The champion of the circle?
Yeah, that's the one. I want him chilled.
Although startled at this pronouncement, Bauer didn't ask any questions, except for the obvious one.
When?
The Baron considered it.
Immediately. Make an example of him.
Bauer seemed to hesitate, as if he didn't understand the nature of the Baron's wishes. A foolish mistake. The Baron noticed Bauer's unease.
Is there a problem?
Bauer bowed his head and decided that it was too late to back down now.
It's not my place to ask, Baron, but why?
You're right, it's not your place to ask. I just have a bad feeling about him. That's all you need to know.
I'll see that he's chilled.
Ryan tried to join the ranks of the slaves unnoticed, but his very presence attracted attention. The slaves either wanted to congratulate him on his victory over Mog, thank him for chilling the two Sekhmen, or else wanted to know if he was available for rutting that night. Even the Sekhmen seemed to be pointing at him and whispering among themselves. Ryan didn't like the looks of that. Usually the Sekhmen were uninterested in the daily comings and goings of the slaves, but now every eye seemed to be on him, watching his every move. The attention could be explained away by his victory in the circle, but they seemed to turn away every time he looked in a Sekhman's direction. Strange behavior, even for Sekhmen. You can only hope that they had a sort of grudging respect for him, and not thoughts of revenge. Ryan moved along the line, getting his breakfast. He'd had better morning meals, but he'd also had worse. This morning's offering included a mound of tan mush that smelled like oatmeal, a bowl of fruit salad, slices of toast, and a choice of juice-flavored water or coffee sub. Ryan took his tray and tried to find a spot in the corner where there wouldn't be so many eyes upon him. But he couldn't hide from the crowd of slaves. That's when the young red-haired girl of about 16 came up to him. Ryan remembered the woman because of her hair, and the even more distinguishing characteristic of the scar running down her face, in the same place as his own, making her look like a cross between himself and Christy.
Great job yesterday, Ryan. I just wanted you to know how grateful I am.
No problem.
Ryan started to get an uneasy feeling, and suddenly wished the woman would just go away.
In appreciation, I'd like to be your own personal slave for as long as you like. I can get you food, bathe you, and I'm a good rudder.
Thanks, but no thanks.
The girl, whose name was Deborah, looked disappointed.
You're too good to be a slave. My slave or anybody else's slave, including the Baron. You deserve to be free.
She smiled at that.
Go make some other man happy.
Ryan gently pushed her away. He began eating his food, trying to look very much as if he didn't want to be bothered. But after just 3 spoons of oatmeal, Deborah slid into the seat next to him.
I just want to tell you to be careful today.
It sounded like a genuine warning, but Ryan stared straight ahead and continued eating.
Why?
I work in the Sekhmen's lounge serving meals. They were all quiet this morning, like something was going down. I wanted to know what it was, so when I finished my shift, I hid in one of the empty lockers.
The girl paused to take a quick glance around.
I heard one of the Sekhmen say the Baron wants you chilled.
Ryan wanted to know the reason why, but knew it didn't matter and made no difference to the Sekhmen where the Baron wanted him dead.
When?
Today sometime. Probably out in the orchards. Just be careful.
It occurred to Ryan that this might be some sort of trap being set by a group of slaves who'd been friendly to Mog.
Why are you telling me this?
You were good in the circle yesterday, and you chilled Richmond and Salazar. I hated those two sect bastards and was glad to see they got what they deserved. With those two gone, slaves won't be getting chilled for sport anymore. The way I see it, we all owe you something for that.
Ryan understood. Thanks. The girl started to get up to leave.